You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, listen, before I go any further, proud to be a top-ranked afternoon show. I mean, we have hit the market, and for the last 3.5 years, you guys have made us just a steady growth show. The show has really expanded. So the bottom line is Right Side Media is the parent company of who we are now. Right Side Radio is just one of our productions. So Right Side Radio is on daily from 2 to 5, and all the prep it takes to get that going and then put it in podcast form thereafter. And that's happening. But then there's also now 4 separate podcasts, video podcasts you can get that are all downloadable, all on our website, all on YouTube. Listen, the bottom line is this. We are covering some ground. And last night, the latest edition of one of our new podcasts, The Controversial Mom, came out. So Emily Jones, the founder of the Moms for Liberty chapter in Madison, she started a podcast with us. It's called The Controversial Mom. She does a great job. And I love the fact she kind of films hers on the go and kind of like grabs it. Like sometimes she's filming from in her car, sometimes in her kitchen or her house, sometimes like waiting in line to pick up her kids at school. I mean, it's very cool. And it's tongue in cheek because it's not controversial, but yet the left thinks the things she does is controversial. Anyway, The Controversial Mom, edition number 3, came out last night. My latest one is in the can. Production has it right now. The Right Philosophy comes out on Wednesdays. And then we got the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. There's several episodes of that pending. And then we also, oh, by the way, got Right Click on Friday with Birdman. So all 4 of these video podcasts are out there. And just listen, check out all our stuff. And then my latest op-ed, we do a written that gets published in like 18 different news outlets around the region. It came out today. So all that to say, top-ranked show and lots of podcasts, and you guys are the reason why. I will say this, though. There's one change coming to the lineup. Coming up January 1st, if you are listening to us on Birmingham Station 101.1 FM, that will change. So that's Crawford Broadcasting Station, 101.1 WXJC, and contract negotiations with that concluded with the decision to go ahead and not pursue. So the decision has been made that we will not pursue further on that contract, and I hate it because we got a lot of ruffians listening to us on 101.1. At the same time, I have some announcements coming that we're pretty excited about, and we'll let you know about those later. But you can always listen to us online, always. Like every day, go to Twitch, go to Rumble, go to YouTube, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, go to 2 different accounts on X, Right Side Media, or at Sin Phil Williams. Check it out. We're online. We're everywhere. You can be anywhere in the whole wild world and watch us on the World Wide Web.
And I like to say we got 6 new subscribers during the show. So we're at 851 now. Oh, we just got another. Right. We have a goal of 1,000. We'd love to hit that before the end of the year.
On YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah. So if y'all aren't aware, the YouTube is not just where we stream, but we also pull clips out from each show and put it up there. So if you missed any part of the show, we put up shorts and Phil's monologues, too, if you want to catch those. That's all on the YouTube. So you're not just getting the stream of the show, but you're also getting content that's being put out on there. If y'all want to go subscribe, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, back on this topic that I'm doing today. The heavy hand, like when government gets involved and puts a thumb on the scale, right? Or tries to do something to force an agenda that the market is not ready for. It has a deleterious effect. There's a great word for you. I don't know where it just came from. Deleterious effect. But the bottom line is it screws things up. How about that? So the first story I started to tell you about before the break is this instance right here. Fox Business has a story that came out today, and this is what sparked me doing this episode today. Conservative business group alleges that California set up an illegal cartel to push for electric trucks. What? Yes. So For some reason, I don't know why, but the Clean Air Act of 1967 gives California sole authority to set its own vehicle emissions standards. No other state's allowed to do it. But other states are allowed to model whatever California adopts. It's almost like California gets to be the beta test. Well, that's back when California was Republican. So, they're not now, and they keep doing things that have a tendency to have ripple effects across the nation because the regulatory bodies look to see what California's doing. Why would anyone look to see what California's doing? But the bottom line is this. American Free Enterprise Chamber of Commerce and other trucking operators just filed a new lawsuit alleging that California has created what they call a cartel arrangement. California coupled itself with some of the biggest heavy-duty truck companies and began to work out a scheme whereby, hey, if you'll build more electric vehicles, we'll push for them so people have to buy them. Oh, really? Yeah, you build them. We'll mandate they have to buy them by law. It'll be great. Then in California, we'll also mandate that by 2036, we can't even have a combustion engine truck. Oh, okay, we'll start building now. When you pass the law, well, it's being passed right now. Okay, great. All right, we'll build them, and then you'll mandate they buy them? Yeah, we'll all make money. Oh, cool. That's not the way the free market works. That's asinine. That is jackassery. But you look at it and think, that's what's happening. And they're doing things like that with a heavy hand. So there's where do you get the word heavy hand? Back in the day when you went to market and you paid with coins, the coins, first sometimes you measure the goods, their weight, but sometimes you also had to measure the quality of the coin. Coinage was not ideally, you know, it's not uniform to the extent that every coin was the same amount of gold content as the coin before it. And then you got things like pieces of eight, where they would actually break off a piece of coin and use a part of it. They had to have scales. And the scales also had to have a unique set of weights and measures to make sure that whatever was on the scale was exactly what it was supposed to be. And the corrupt guys in the market would put their things on the scale and then put a slight thumb on the scale that would make it lean the opposite direction. So putting a thumb on the scale or being heavy-handed is where we get the term. When government does it now, it gerrymanders the market. Like, here's one for you. This is a story that came out of hotair.com 3 days ago. Trump goes after the climate fanatics, but Biden says expect more climate funding before he leaves. The green energy sector is real, and I get it. You can generate electricity with wind. You can generate electricity with solar. I'm not denying that it happens. I know you can drive a car with batteries. It happens. But they cannot, as an industry, survive without government subsidies. Why? Because the market has not yet created something which is fully the better mousetrap that can survive on its own and be built because people want to invest in it. So, listen, there are people that do invest, and I get it, and they make a lot of money. They also make a lot of money because the government keeps throwing money at it to prop it up because it can't compete with coal and nuclear and hydro. It boggles the mind. Natural gas, it boggles the mind. But climate scammers right now, according to hotair.com, are whipping up hysteria trying to control the economy, vacuum up trillions of dollars, and building sort of a technocratic communism, they say. I agree. But, you know, if they'd always been right, we'd already be underwater right now. The polar ice caps would have already melted. Or would it be acid rain? Or would it be, I don't know, the fact that we would be in the middle of a frozen tundra? Which one is it? I don't know. Let's call it climate change so we can capture all of it. Okay, great. And so CBS still trots out their resources trying to warn about, you know, mass starvation and the polar ice caps. And the reality is Trump is saying this is coming to an end. And so Biden is saying, well, then I'm going to spend all the money I can before they leave. Why? So we can prop up more of them and give them money before he leaves and gerrymander the market. That's heavy-handed. But to me, one of the most egregious examples of heavy-handed, well, I don't know, these are all egregious. I can't find one that's not. One of the most egregious examples of heavy-handed is what California is, and I'm going to call for audio clip number one here in a minute. In fact, I'm not sure if I have time for it now that I say that. We'll get it after the break if we do. California decided it was going to go in and create a false market and say that only fast food restaurants, only fast food. If you work at fast food, it's a $20 minimum wage in California now. Whoop, whoop. They passed it. They love it. Story that came out today on USA Today. Headline, California raised pay. Thousands of people lost jobs. Wake up, liberals, it says. USA Today. It's an opinion piece, but it's pretty solid. Says people, says perhaps California Governor Gavin Newsom thought $20 minimum wage hike he signed into law for most fast food workers would magically skirt the principles of free market economics. He was wrong. The Democrat governor clearly buys into progressive fallacies. The law took effect in April of this year. In a 10-month period, since the mandate kicked in, California lost 6,000 jobs. Think about that. A 1.1% drop in fast food employment after they raised the minimum wage. Wow. 6,000 people lost jobs. In contrast, during the same time frame a year prior to that, they had a 3.1% increase in jobs. They added 17,000 jobs a year before. They raised the minimum wage to $20 for fast food, and they lost 6,000. That's a huge scale down. U.S. fast food restaurants roughly added 74,000. Like basically everywhere but California, fast food grew at 1.6% employment. Except California, which dropped 1.1%, losing 6,000 jobs. Unstinking believable. But that's what happens when you screw with the market forces. And market forces will self-correct. Well, we're going to get you paid more. That's great, but I won't have a job. So the heavy hand of government says, you're just not being fair. I'm sorry, what's fair? Well, we think fair is that fast food should pay more money. It's not a career job. What about the summer hires for kids? And who said you have to have a living wage if you're 16-year-old, you're slinging fries? Well, we're not going to settle for that. We're gonna put it on you. Oh, wait a minute. How about Panera Bread down the street? They don't have to worry about this. Well, no, they actually serve baked goods. Excuse me? Yeah, baked goods don't qualify as fast food. That's the truth. Look it up.
That is hilarious.
It is. Oh, by the way, the guy who owns Panera Bread was a huge supporter of Governor Gavin Newsom's campaign. Wow. But nonetheless, if you serve baked goods, you're not fast food. You don't get $20 an hour. So Panera Bread's got people going, I want to sling burgers. No more of these gourmet sandwiches for us because, you know, we don't only get paid $17 an hour or whatever it is. So they're going down the street to work at Starbucks. Nope, no Starbucks. They have scones. It's ridiculous.
I think anything with a drive-thru should be considered fast food. Just me.
Are you screwing with my Dunkin' Donuts now? Oh, wait, those are baked goods.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're all right. So In-N-Out Burger, sorry for you, but you're founded in a state that has decided it doesn't like you. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back, I'm going to play you an audio clip of a McDonald's franchise owner in California talking to Maria Bartiromo, and he says it so well, and we'll break it down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. All right, heavy-handed. I talked about when a government gets heavy-handed to gerrymander the market forces, it just screws things up. And I do love, by the way, Dave from Madison just texted in. Proverbs 16:11 says, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. See, there's my thing. Honest scales and balances, heavy-handed, the thumb on the scale. That's great. Thanks, Dave. So I got an audio clip right now of a McDonald's franchise owner in California who, when the new pay scales came out, it just slammed his business, and he wound up having to shut down two of his franchise locations totally. And so he did a great job of describing it. It's one of the best I've heard. So Maria Bartiromo, Fox News discussion about McDonald's. Let's play it.
Fast food restaurants actually added more than 17,000 jobs. California McDonald's franchise owner Scott Roderick joined us back in April to share his concerns then. Since then, he's had to close two of his restaurants. He's back with us right now. Scott, good to see you. Thank you so much for being here. We're actually seeing now the numbers and what a $20 minimum wage has meant for the industry. Walk us through it. Why did you have to close two stores?
Well, hello, Maria. You know, since this new wage targeting fast food franchises took effect last April, my business has certainly experienced the cost pressure. The legislation singled out 15,000 fast food restaurants in the state. So 8 months later, here we are. It's no surprise to hear that at least 6,000 jobs have been lost in my industry. You know, I personally have not taken the approach in mitigating the impact to lay off staff members. I have good people that have worked for my family for years, decades. But instead, I've had to reduce my investment in labor, hours across all departments and day parts. I've slowed to a crawl, new hiring. Essentially, I'm relying on a smaller staff size. This is the first summer that I can remember where we simply did not accept short-term student summer work. The hours were simply not there. So what I suspect is driving some of the 6,000 job loss numbers that you just reported, thinking about my own experience, is the cumulative result of hours reduction versus outright layoffs. Yes, there are companies in California exiting the California market. I've heard stories through my trade association of companies that have laid off employees, but I suspect that most of those 15,000 restaurants impacted have been forced to do what I've done, reduce the hours of full-time workers, limit the use of overtime, reduce the pace of hiring, and look to cutting costs on every single P&L line item.
Yeah. So you're saying because you have to pay $20 an hour, and you're paying these people, this is sort of like students, and you know, it's not like they have any experience, right? They need a job, and because you've had to pay $20 an hour, you've had to take out expenses elsewhere, and in some cases, that has meant closing stores or letting others go.
Well, operating in California, restaurants in California is a real challenge, and even more so in a high-cost place like San Francisco. And so, yes, unfortunately, in the past year, I've had to close two restaurants, one just before and one right after the California wage mandate took effect.
Stop there. I'm hitting the brakes, so I got to stop there. But the guy was just talking about the fact that this has done nothing but devastate his industry. And think about that. Where have you ever seen a piece of legislation that was designed to target a thriving sector of the economy? Like, hey, you're doing too good over there. We're going to slap you with something and slow you down. That's what this is, the heavy hand of government telling purely fast food. It doesn't say anything about retail. It doesn't say anything about, you know, bakeries. It doesn't say anything about CPAs. It just says, oh, if you flip burgers, guess what? $20 an hour. Just you. It's heavy-handed. It's ridiculous. It's time for a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.